I did not become someone different that I did not want to be. But I'm new here. Will you show me around?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Simon Rentner here, host of The Checkout podcast. You can get wherever you get your podcasts. All of our shows archived on our homepage at checkoutjazz.org and produced at WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Today, we have a mega-size, star-packed edition of the show, a session that was actually recorded in mid-April when we were in full lockdown mode in New York City. Sadly, what many of us had to endure there, people are just now experiencing that horror elsewhere, all around the country. So this show still seems extremely timely today. And with the help of the pianist Greg Spiro, we were able to beam folks in from all around the globe. Some jazz stars of the highest caliber. The drummer Micaiah McCraven will give us a home tour of his music studio in Chicago and talk about his instrument collection. Then we got trumpeter Marquise Hill giving us some advice of how to love thyself during these crazy, difficult times, along with his soundtrack, Love Tape with Voices. And then we got vocalist Siren Tip, who will serenade us with her dreamy performance. And certainly last but not least, Snarky Puppy's Michael League talks about our current state of the music industry and his bold leap into being a solo singer-songwriter. But first, let's feature the pianist from the session who has the technology to make this all happen. Here he is, Greg Spiro, introducing the first song.
The tune that I will share is called Nails. It's written in 2016, which is one of the weird time signatures that I love. And it sounds kind of like 4/4 because it's really fast. And I can't actually play it as fast as I wrote it. The MIDI file plays it faster than me, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Thank you.
All right, Nails.
Oh, that's a way to start the morning.
Yeah,
should've
right?
Warmed up.
Lord have mercy. yeah, what's it like to play that tune at 8 a.m. Pacific
time? Oh, man, it is not. So the way I wrote it is supposed to be like... But then when I get to the ending lines, there's no possible way to execute those yet. I have to, like, took me a while to learn to just play it at that speed. It also, it's a little different when you get the full band on it, because, you know, on the recording, Max Garrell is playing all the bass lines with me, and Mike Mitchell is just smashing all the drum parts, so I hope people get a chance to hear the live recording.
I mean, it's an incredible rhythm section. Honestly, one of the best in jazz today. Greg, you've managed to get some of the baddest cats around playing on your records. I mean, if you ever get a chance to see Mike Mitchell's Black Dynamite band, it's definitely worth going. Hopefully, when we can all go see concerts soon.
Right.
Shout out to Mike Mitchell, who, you know, when I spoke to Eric Harlan in Belgium, actually, you know, we were talking about Mike Mitchell as just one of the, honestly, the baddest underrated drummers on the scene today. So, incredible.
Yeah. Well, he's so young, man. He's got such a long career ahead of him. I feel like he has the potential to be like the Tony Williams of our generation, you know, as long as he can just keep going, because, you know, it's not easy to keep going in this music world, but
I thought he was actually gonna break the drums at New Blue when I saw him.
He has broken the drums before on my show.
Do you want to maybe just talk about your new recording? What's this record about?
Okay, so the record's called Peace, and it features Judy Jackson along with a host of other guests. Braxton Cook is on there, Greg Ward. And Bubby Lewis and Jonathan Scales also. So it's a 13-track record. We've released Goodbye, which you can check out on Spotify. It's got some more like songy stuff on there too. I think people are really going to enjoy it.
Okay, well, let's welcome the trumpeter Marquise Hill and Micaiah McRaven.
Hello, hello.
How many people know, Micaiah, that you're an instrument collector and that you have this massive home studio? Probably people that dig into your records, some of your early hits, know that you spent countless hours meticulously crafting your beat music as a beat scientist. But how many people know that you have this sort of like this fetish for instrument collection?
Probably the people who know me, who work with me, know that I have a collection of instruments. And some people know that I'm like, I play different instruments or a multi-instrumentalist of some sorts, but I don't know. It's, you know, part of my whole, artistic, endeavors have been around, kind of eclectic, music, through my parents, and like there's always been a lot of instruments in the house. When I grew up, there was always piano and a guitar and a variety of flutes and mandolins and driffin' drums. And early in my old band, I started to get into vintage keyboards with the keyboards I worked with. And just so over the years, having some space, I've just started amassing different collection of instruments that moved into samplers and just different things I like to experiment. It's a way that I like to write music from different instruments. And sometimes it's just a getaway is playing different instruments and like learning music from a broad perspective than just from my primary instrument.
How many of these instruments can you actually play and get away with it? I understand you once played bass at a hip hop gig.
I've played a handful of gigs on bass, very like simple music many years ago, but I can, you know, I can get around the bass, I can get around keyboards, you know, working through changes and some standards. And
I saw you sit in with Jason Lindner last Winter Jazz Festival on a weird sort of synth improv set. And you were laying it down. Greg, you were there too.
Yep. Yeah, I was playing. I was playing my main instrument. Makai was on. Well, actually, that's sort of your main instrument too. You were playing what, like a sampler, right?
Yeah, it was more of like a sequencer. Actually, my first drum machine was a sequencer, so it was kind of familiar. You know, all the instruments around, I like to try to play a bit. You know, I've had some guitars around the house for a while that I've not been able to play very well. And ever since this lockdown, I've taken it out as an opportunity to get guitar lessons for myself and my daughter. And so that's been a really fun project here while at home. And I've been gaining some facility there. But, you know, I play the instruments well enough to use them to write and to use them for overdubbing and doing things. And you know, like on the latest record, the Gil Scott Heron reimagining, I played a lot of the instruments on that record.
One last question. How much of the experimentation in sound is sort of a byproduct of basically being the home turf of the AACM being there? I mean, did that sort of, as a catalyst, provide you the inspiration and flexibility just to say, hey, I'm just going to collect all these instruments and make all these crazy sounds?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, I've been collecting and playing instruments since I was a child living in Massachusetts. I used to sneak into the living room in the old house when I was a kid late at night when everybody was asleep and pull my mom's mandolin, which I wasn't supposed to touch, from out from under where she kept it. And I would pluck on that thing. And so, you know, I brought all these instruments, a lot of these instruments here to Chicago. And you know, this is my getaway, you know, these are the things that I do, you know, for self-love, not only just for, creation, but it's definitely something that I do to keep my sanity and keep my peace. And I try to share that with my family as much as I can, especially at a time like this. And so, you know, I always try to encourage people to play music and listen to music. And I don't think you have to be a professional or virtuosic to gain a lot of value, you know, both mentally, physically, and spiritually by playing instruments. And it wasn't so long ago where the recorded sound didn't exist, you know, and if you wanted to hear a song, you needed to be able to hack it out on the keyboard, on a piano with your family around, or on acoustic guitar, and you could sing the songs or play the songs that you wanted to hear, or you had to see it live. And so I think that some of that is being lost, you know, with people having have the same access to play, or they think I can't do that, or I have no skill. And I don't really think of it that way. I really think of it as it's like something we can all do and share. And then that gives us more appreciation for those that are like playing their instruments at very high level.
It's also very disarming to the psyche to play an instrument that you haven't become an expert at in your life. I mean, we would do that. That was one of the sort of therapeutic things that we did. Actually, the three of us did on tour in these various situations when we would play a show, and then afterwards we would when everybody had left the concert hall, just get on all the different instruments and jam out as a sort of way of like letting loose and just having fun.
Yeah, especially, you know, after you spend so much time trying to master what you do, you know, it's nice to have some perspective, you know, and, you know, there's a lot to be learned from that, I believe.
Mac Attack, new music from Micaiah McRaven, Universal Beans, E and F Sides, music from his soundtrack to the Universal Beans documentary film. In just a moment, we'll touch base with Micaiah's trumpeter, but he also leads many projects under his own name. Marquise Hill touches base with us from Brooklyn, and not only will he give us some tips for self-love during these difficult times, but he also has a soundtrack to go along with it, Love Tape with Voices. Let's listen to it. This is They Say This Is Love, featuring Chris Turner.
God is love. I am God. I am love.
God is love. I am God. I am love.
God is love. I am God.
God is love.
I am love.
I am God.
God is love.
I am love.
I am God. I am love.
I am love.
God is love.
God is love.
I am God.
I am God.
I am love.
I am love. God is love.
God is love.
I am God.
I am God.
I am love.
Trust my love. For you, there is no one but me. For me, all I can see is us. They say this is love.
Marquise, your latest recording, Love Tapes, and the latest installment, Love Tapes with Voices, which just came out in February, which is just awesome kind of remixes of the original material that you had instrumentally that you put out in the fall of last year. But it's a love tape, and it is sexy, and I can imagine myself in a room listening to that music, maybe with another person intimately, but it's more than that, isn't it?
It is, definitely. It's much more than that. For me, when I started just researching the interviews for the project, one of the reoccurring themes was self-love. And for me, at the time I started to write the music for the project, that really resonated. You know, we're kind of living in a time, man, things are a bit crazy out here. So I think it's pretty crucial that we take some of this time to just go within and deal with ourselves internally, you know. That self-love is the key during a time like this.
Thank you.
Okay, so give us self-love tip number one. What can you prescribe to our audience?
Self-love tip number one, let's see. Well, you know what? For me, man, it is crazy out here. I've been making a point to pop outside every day just to get a little bit of fresh air. So for me, that has been extremely helpful. Just be with nature a little bit. You know, go out for 15, 20 minutes, get some of the sunlight. Touch a tree if you're into that. You know, run, get some exercise. Just be sure to connect with nature a little bit. And for me, that's been extremely helpful. Getting fresh air and seeing the sun, you know.
All right, so tip number two.
I like that alliteration there. Love tape tip number two. Meditate. I'm really just kind of thinking about what's happening now. And for me, with what's going on in the world, just meditating has really, really been helpful for me. 10 minutes twice a day. It doesn't take much, but it kind of ties in on what I just said. Just taking the time to go within yourself, you know, kind of block out everything that's happening in the world and taking 20 minutes a day to really just deal with your feelings and your thoughts and what's going on internally. So that's been extremely helpful. I'm trying to be as clear as possible. So no music, no sounds, just really trying to clear my mind and my thoughts of everything. And focusing on my breath for sure. But the ultimate goal for me is just to be completely clear, which is difficult because thoughts are coming in and out like waves of water. But that's the key to meditation, being able to clear yourself when you're in times exactly like this, you know.
So honestly, like I can really breathe with air so clear.
All right. And then I guess you have one last tip for us. Love tip number three.
Love tip number three. Let's see. Yeah. So for me, during these times, music, you know, what Dizzy said, music is my meditation, you know, the great Dizzy Gillespie. And for me, just checking out different music from different cultures and just checking out as much music as possible has really been an outlet, like just digging into records that I've been wanted to check out for years but haven't had time, or really, you know, spending time on my instrument, playing more piano, writing more music, just really getting lost in my art form, getting lost in the music. And that's been super, super helpful. And I'm assuming most musicians during this time, they're doing the same thing. And it's really healing for us to be able to put this much energy and time into the music. So for me, that's been extremely helpful as well.
All right. Well, you know, I recently had the pianist and composer Nduduzo Makatini on my show, who's also a traditional healer in Sangoma from South Africa. And, you know, he in the show said something that still is resonating in my brain today that I want to ask all three of you, actually, which is, now in this new world that we're living in, are you making music? Are you thinking about music and bringing music to others differently than you would have previously, thinking about music as a healing power?
That's a powerful question. For me, like, my ultimate goal from day one has always been to touch people through my music. So I think with what's going on, my direction is still to touch and heal people, but just now with more intention behind that, like just more of that energy being put into the music. Because it really is healing. Music has the power to take people out of this reality. So for me, that's one of the ultimate goals. So definitely just putting more of that energy and more intention into the music. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us. Marquise Hill's Love Tape and Micaiah McRaven and his amazing recording project, Celebrating the Music of Gil Scott-Heron. Thank you so much, both of you.
All right.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Just forever.
trumpeter Marquise Hill, Just Forever, featuring the vocalist Alex Isley. Love Tape with Voices. In just a moment, we'll bring you part two of our Checkout Quarantine special. The Swedish vocalist known as Sirentip will bring us a dreamy performance with her musical partner, Nolan Boyd. The best way I can describe it is like being hugged by a cloud. And she'll also talk about Live from Our Living Rooms virtual festival, which you can still watch right now through July 22nd. But let's get into the groove of Sirentip. Music from her latest recording, Tribus. This is Wolves. Sirentip, her new recording on Ground Up is called Tribus. Did I say that right? Tribus? Is that how you say that? And Michael Lee, how are you both thinking about music how to conduct business as usual. So what are both of you thinking about right now?
I mean, Simon, and you and I talked a little bit on the phone the other day, but some of the stuff that I really think about is like, obviously this has taken a big hit and, you know, that's nothing that we should deny. But if we're trying to look at what Marquise and Mikhail was talking about, the silver lining, I see a lot of great potential here in terms of the reach that we can get. So like with Michael's masterclasses and the same with our Live From Our Living Rooms, suddenly instead of, you know, being, restricted to the people that can be there at a specific time in a specific geography, you can reach people all over the world. And that is pretty incredible as a musician. And Michael and I have talked about this before too, in terms of how can you make passive income? Because touring and stuff is tricky and it's hard to be active all the time and it gets tiring. So in a way, it's easier if we can also find ways to make money while we don't actually need to be there in person. So I think like streaming and creating content that you can make money off even after this is over is going to be great to create that extra cushion, just especially now also with streaming, because it's hard to make money off that. So, you know, with these masterclasses, that's going to be great.
And should we just like have a worldwide boycott of YouTube?
I just think that if we can find a way to make it financially sustainable, I think that there can be a lot of great things coming out of this. But yes, I mean, the way it works right now with Spotify and YouTube and iTunes and all those platforms, it's just not sustainable for artists to create.
At this point, it's essentially advertising for touring that we can't do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been the direct the out of mouth of representatives that I've spoken with from those streaming companies, you know, of like, well, yeah, you know, we understand that you're not making the same amount of money now that you were when you were selling records, but you know, we're enabling you to engage with so many more people around the world so much more easily, which is absolutely true, you know, and the idea is that, okay, well, now you know where your fans are and now you can go to Sweden when you realize that you have a big fan base in Sweden, but we can't go anywhere, you know, now. And I mean, it was a problem before COVID, obviously, and that's enough content for 10 more podcasts talking about streaming and what it's for and to musicians, you know, on both good and bad sides. But definitely, like, now that, you know, this rug has been pulled under us, and we don't also know when the rug's going to be back. People are talking, you know, the president is talking about soon. I was speaking with someone in the United States who is a very influential concert promoter who doesn't believe that the U.S. is going to be open for business touring-wise until the end of next year. You know what I mean? And it could be, Harvard just published a study today saying we could be looking at 2022 before things are back to normal. So, like Tipon said, you know, we have to be creating content now to be released and taken advantage of when we're able to be mobile again. And we have to figure out ways to survive. And charity is going to, you know, keep our heads above water for now. But it's, you know, there have to be structural changes for a longer term solution.
Pivoting to what Michael was saying is, I think that the problem essentially is like when we do stuff in a digital way, you know, with streaming or digital downloads or whatever, people are just not used to paying for that content. So now if it's like what Michael's saying, we can't tour until 2022, people will need to change their mindset about, okay, if we want to support art, we actually need to pay for it. So if we, you know, can take tickets for shows, even if they're live streamed, and for people to actually want to tune in a specific time and pay for it and watch it.
And so also, Serentip, you brought up this idea offline here about the environmental consequences and of touring and how that is just obviously, I don't know, you guys are all constantly on the road, you know, burning all kinds of fossil fuels. Like, is this something that weighs heavily on your mind too? And how do we get around that obstacle?
Yeah, I mean, I know for us, you know, we have a music festival, Ground Up Music Festival, as well as Snarky Puppy and Bocante touring. And it's a lot, yeah, it's a lot of flights. It's a lot of tour buses and vans and a lot of plastic, you know? So the first thing that we did, you know, we were like, the first thing that we can do, we can change tomorrow. We don't need, you know, anything other than willpower, is that we just said absolutely no plastic water bottles in any of the venues or at our. And this is easy. We just went to the store and bought each member of the band and crew a metallic water bottle, you know, and then you label the name that they're responsible for it. Of course, we're musicians. People are going to forget it and whatever, but as long as they know that it's their responsibility, you know, and I think we began reducing 2,500 plastic bottles a month. Snarky Puppy tours. That's how many, because someone takes a sip of water, they put it down, they don't remember which one is theirs, they get another one, you know, and any band can do that. You know, I think when you have a little more money, you can start engaging in programs that, that do carbon offsetting. Snarky Puppy does that. Bocante can't afford to yet, but hopefully it will soon, you know, so which basically means that at the end of the tour, this company calculates how much of a carbon footprint you've left, and it engages in activities to replenish or to reduce or to cancel out that footprint, whether it's planting trees or through work in the ocean. And, you know, there's a lot of programs that do that, but you have to pay for it. You know, the government should be paying you to do it. But
so Serentip, you've also thought about this in terms of, you know, providing artists opportunities maybe for more longer term residencies in places, so that you're not making a one-off gig in Australia and doing the next gig in San Francisco and, you know, going to Chicago, wherever. I mean, obviously everyone has to work together here, but I think we're sort of at this point where we have to rethink everything, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so, because it's so common that you just have one-off gigs. Like, you know, with Snarky Puppy, you guys have pretty great tour routing. You didn't have like a lot of detours. But I think that, you know, for instance, for my career, because I haven't gotten as far, I get like random gigs here and there. And then we fly for one gig. It's not really that great for us financially to do that. And environmentally, it's a disaster. So I think that I've been thinking, I don't know if this is even possible, but just coming up with some kind of app that can help promoters and artists see where people are in a specific area during a specific time. And it's almost like the fee of the artist is dependent on how far away they are. So if someone is in New York, but the gig is in Australia, the costs of them are going to be much higher than if they already are in Australia. Does that make sense? So yeah. It's like an environmentally conscious kind of thing to help people try to book in a smarter way, both as artists and as promoters.
And I understand you're going to play for us right now. Probably people are itching for some music right now with all this jabbering. Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
Michael, is there any way we can convince you to give us a music break right now? I know you're working on a solo vocal project, so all we need is you, baby. For a person that puts basically an orchestra, the equivalent of an orchestra on the road, you know, almost for a full year, you're now hanging out with David Crosby too much. You're just like, nah, I'm gonna make a solo project. Is that sort of the logic?
You know, the document, the text edit document or whatever that I started with all the song ideas for this record and blah, blah, blah. It's called ML Solo Album 2015. So it's actually been like a thing that I've been wanting to do for half a decade. And because no one suffers if it doesn't get done, I just haven't done it. You know, if Snarky Puppy doesn't make a record, it's a lot of mouths to feed and all this kind of stuff, you know, and same thing with Bocante or whatever. So since it's only me that is suffering by it not come out, I'm just like, I just haven't done it. And then this quarantine, I'm in Spain, and it's like an actual quarantine. You know, you're really not allowed out of the house except to go straight to the grocery store and go home. After like 5 days, I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to just do this now. I got a, you know, a MIDI controller and an interface, and, you know, you can do a lot with that, you know? So I'm like 16 tunes in now, which is good. They're very short. They're like really, really little things. But yeah, so that's kind of what I've been super happy just like not having to reset up my crap every day. That's like a real thing about musicians, you know, when you're traveling, get stuff out of the bag, set it up, find enough power outlets, blah, blah, blah. And just being able to come to the same space and just work every day has been amazing. And also writing like a practice versus just like waiting to be inspired. But like, I'm going to write for 4 hours today, you know? And then I've been practicing these things. And this thing is like it's like an ancient bass, basically. It's called a gimbri. You know, it's like three strings, two that you can finger and one that's like a drone. So I don't know how well you hear this, but that's like the high string. Do you hear that okay?
Yeah, I hear it.
That's like the middle string, actually, kind of. Here's the low string. And then there's this, the drone, high string. So it's like, I don't know what it's tuned to right now, but normally it's like DDG or CCF. So it's like a, you know, it's like a drum and a bass. You can play it kind of like a... Or you can play it like percussively, like, right? So, but I'm just like having fun practicing it every day, basically. But it's like, you know, they use a pentatonic scale in Ganawa music, this Moroccan genre, but it's like a pentatonic scale without a minor third. It's like 1-2, which is a little flat. Like a mournful 2, and then like 4-5-7-1. So right, so really crazy. It's wow. Really, but for me also it feels like a blues, and I mean everything feels like a blues instrument to me because I'm American, I guess. So
it is the blues. I mean, straight up. I mean, why not? I love seeing you next to Siren Tip. It's like ancient to the future, bringing back the AACM. A little shout out again.
Love that.
All right, well, we look forward to hearing your songs, Michael, and really definitely everybody watch his conversation with David Crosby where he talks about songwriting specifically. David Crosby was so humble during that conversation. One thing that really struck me was just how much he was willing to defer to all of the brilliant minds and musicians around him of his same era, you know, from Bob Dylan to James Taylor to, you know, everyone else that he, you know, basically calls a genius, Joni Mitchell. Michael Lee, have you ever encountered, been in the same room with a musician that made you want to quit as a musician?
yeah,
Yeah, all the time. Well, musicians like that make you want to quit, and then they make you want to practice.
Right. So there's different levels of sort of like mastery.
Yeah, I think it's rare that you meet someone that is really just like on such another level in terms of like a gift that they have that you could never reach it. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the time we're like, oh, that person's a genius, or, you know, I can never do that. But really, you totally could. You just need to practice a bunch, spend a lot of time and work and do certain things, you know? But, you know, I think every once in a while you meet somebody that you're like, oh, there was just something weird in the soup when that person came into existence. You know what I mean? Like where it's just, it doesn't, maybe I've met that person one time or two times.
Can you give a name? I know maybe for Greg Spiro, it might be Herbie Hancock, but I could just guess.
I was just thinking that.
Oh, you know, it's funny because there have been many times where I've met someone like that and I was like, that's that person, that's them. And then when I spend years with them, then I'm like, no, they just work really hard, you know, or they've just practiced really hard, or they've put themselves in a position to really take advantage of the things and that they're brilliant, you know, but like really that crazy X factor.
That's really reassuring for all of us.
Yeah, it's a hope. I actually think of it as like a hopeful thing, you know, that it's like we all have a lot of potential, and maybe some of us are great at certain things and not great at other things. Some people are great at coming up with melodies, but they don't have a lot of groove. Some people are great with lyrics, but they can't sing in tune, you know, and you know, when we look at really any great musician, there's always going to be something that isn't the best in the world, you know? So I think it's just encouragement for all of us to just stay the course and learn as much as we can. We're all students, you know, until we die.
All right, so for all three of you then, one song for self-isolation.
The World We Knew, Frank Sinatra. I love that song, but also when you check out the lyrics, it's obviously about a couple that was in love and then his partner left, and all he just keeps running over and over in his mind what the world was like when they were in love, you know? And he says like all the bright neon signs turned into gold and, you know, all this kind of stuff, or turned into stars. And I feel like that way about the world now, you know, I like look out the window and I'm like, oh, I remember when. Now over and over, I keep
going over the world we knew. All right, Greg?
Want me to go next or Siren Tip? I can say, mine, I would have to say that it would be the Keith Jarrett Colne concert, which is, it's one of my favorite recordings. It's up in the top five, but I would say for quarantine, it's the top one, because music has been my sort of, it's been the vessel through which I've been able to dive into spirituality. And that is such a beautiful descriptor of the spontaneous and beautiful mind at its like deepest core. You can listen to the entire concert and just and get into it. It can transport you to another place that has nothing to do with all the sufferings that we're experiencing.
All right, Siren Tip, you're next.
Yeah, so I don't have a specific song. I couldn't think of one, but Bill Frisell performed at our festival, and Crowdcast crashed when he was going to start. I think we got too many people tuned in. It was like 2,000 people who tuned in. And so he started 90 minutes late, but once he started to play, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. And he played like Someone to Watch Over Me, and it was just like hitting here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is definitely someone who will watch over me, also performed by Bill Frisell, but not from the live from our living rooms concert. Unfortunately, we couldn't get that recording, but this is the guitarist with Paul Motion's group from 2015 with Charlie Hayden and Joe Lovano from his album Standards Plus One. Maybe we get a little close to that vibe. With that said, the third installment of Serentips Live from Our Living Rooms may have just ended, but most of the performance can still be seen, and their workshops and their webinars can still be viewed on their website, livefromourlivingrooms.com, until July 22nd. Just to give you an example, you can watch sets from Jason Lindner and Zakir Hussain and Kurt Rosenwinkel, Gretchen Parlato with Alan Hampton, Rachel Z with Omar Hakim, Lena Leweke, Terry Lynn Carrington, and more. Again, livefromourlivingrooms.com, and it all goes to a good cause. Support the music, support these musicians. More information at livefromourlivingrooms.com. And we thank all of our lovely guests for joining us on today's mega quarantine special. And we got video of a lot of this stuff, actually, on our website. Check out jazz.org. In fact, we have Micaiah McRaven giving a tour of his home studio. If you go to our website, check out jazz.org. Also, watch Serentips' performance, Michael League playing the djembe, all of that on our website right now. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.